It's good to see those of you out with us this morning for this first day of November. The year is quickly, or maybe not so quickly, in some cases, slipped away. Two things to add to what Paul said. I asked Linda to let me see her bulletin when he started talking about Claudia's granddaughter, because I thought I had something else in there. But she is actually in the hospital right now in Nashville. So I failed to put that in the bulletin, that her granddaughter-in-law is actually in the hospital in Nashville after the two ER trips. She was admitted, I believe, yesterday, and her husband's with her, and that's why Claudia's keeping the great-grandbaby. And also, Kevin and Paula and family are in Lawrenceburg and will be back probably tomorrow night. So they're out of town. So I've also failed to make that mention to Paul and got to thinking about it in the pew and went, forgot to tell him that too. So apologies on that this morning. With this being the first day of November, we are entering out of one holiday season, if you count Halloween as a holiday season, and into a second kind of meshed holiday season. You have people like me who will start putting up Christmas decorations this week, even though Thanksgiving is coming next. But we have a general idea of thanks and gratitude as the days get closer to Thanksgiving. And so that's what I wanted to talk about from the book of Psalms this morning. And we're going to look at three different passages. One of the Psalms, we'll look at another one later in the lesson, and we're also going to look in Luke and 1 Chronicles this morning. But it's very important that we understand the need to give thanks to God. You know, when we often gather around at Thanksgiving, we think about what we're thankful for, and we reflect on our family and our health and maybe material items, but we need to be always thankful to God for what He's done for us and what He continues to do for us. Because when it comes down to it, ingratitude is a very infectious sin. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, Paul says, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." You know, when you spend time around someone who's always thankful, you start to develop that characteristic of yourself. If you're around a person who's has a lot of gratitude, I'll get my words out eventually this morning. If you're around someone that is always very thankful for what others do for them, it's very infectious, and you become more mindful of the little things and the items that people do for you. But on the same end, if you're around people who are never thankful for anything, that becomes infectious as well. And you slip into a state of, well, you should do it for me, or you ought to do it for me, or it's something that I just come to expect and I'm not thankful for it. And when it rolls down to it, when we look at Israel's history, and really our history, we get that way with God. That He is supposed to provide for us. He's supposed to care for us. The Israelites murmured because of the food He was sending them. Yet He was sending them something to fill their bellies. We can become very ungrateful for blessings that we take for granted. And so we need to be careful not to slip into that mindset. Look in Luke chapter 17. Keep your marker in Psalm 96. It's where the bulk of our lesson will be from. But Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, He was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as He entered a village, He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When He saw them, He said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests," and they went and were clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And He said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." 10 lepers are cleansed. 10 lepers have asked the same entreaty of the Lord. 10 lepers are clean, and one, a foreigner, a non-Jew, is the one who returns to praise God. And so we see from this story that ingratitude is a common problem among God's people. Christ is pointing out that the one who returns is a foreigner. That leads us to imply, if you'll let me, that of the nine other lepers, some, if not all of them, were part of Israel, part of the Jews. And so you have God's people being ungrateful for what Christ has done for them. They're not always been that way. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, you have when David brings the Ark of Jerusalem back, there is a great celebration of thanksgiving. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 26 through 28. And because God helped the Levites who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, they sacrificed seven bulls and seven rams. David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, as were all the Levites who were carrying the ark, and the singers, and Shemaiah, the leader of the music of singers. And David wore a linen ephod. So all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting to the sound of the horn, trumpets, and cymbals, and made loud music on the harps and lyres. So as the ark is being returned, you have them making a great praise to the Lord. Come to the next chapter, in chapter 16, and look down at verses 23 through 33. This is one of David's cries, and as you read through several of the Psalms, you'll see his cries are very thankful in nature. Not all, but several. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 23. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar. And all that fills it, let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Does that sound familiar? Because it's what Bob just read from Psalm 96. So when we turn back to Psalm 96, and we see this message of David's, this call and this thanks to God, we learn several things about our gratitude to God. Let's starting in verse 1 of Psalm 96, with understanding that one way we praise God, one way that we thank God, is through song, is through the words that we sing. You know, there are several beautiful hymns that have been written that allow us to express thoughts that maybe we could not have come up with on our own. But there are songs that bring honor and praise and glory before God and thank Him for what He has done for us, what He's done in the past, and what He will continue to do. Singing is an expression that we use in our gratitude for God. You know, there are many different ways in which we show our love and appreciation to others. You may make a gift for a family or a friend, family member or a friend. You may find in a store a little knick-knack or a little gift that reminds you of someone, so you purchase it as a way of showing your appreciation for them. There are many different little idiosyncrasies that we do that show our respect and love for the person. And one of that is through song. One of that is the way in which we use words and melodies to bring gratitude to someone. You know, when Paul talks about our singing in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, when he tells us to sing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart, do you remember the next verse? Giving thanks to God. Giving thanks in all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 5. In Colossians chapter 3, when he's talking about our singing, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. A And so one type of psalms that we should be singing as we gather together, or as we're sitting around a fire, or as we're sitting in the car, if we're singing to the Lord, some of the psalms we should be including are those of thanksgiving. We should be utilizing every ability we have to thank God. And one of which is the ability to make a joyful noise to the Lord. One of the commandments that the psalmist gives in Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord. But as we continue through Psalm 96, and we look at verses 2 down through 9, we understand that part of our way we give thanks to God is through our worship of Him and not just in song. Read it with me again, verses 2 through 9. Sing to the Lord, bless His name, tell of His salvation from day to day, declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous work among all the prophets, or people, excuse me. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens, splendor and majesty are before Him, strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name, bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness, tremble before Him all the earth. We give thanks to God for His character and His blessings as we are worshiping together this morning. We are always to be thankful for the power of God. That's what the psalmist is saying here in verses 2 through 5. Looking at the glory among the nations, His marvelous works. Great is the Lord. He is greatly to be praised. He is feared. For all the gods are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. You know, as we look out and we see the nature around us and we see how colors change at this time of year and leaves are starting to fall. And here in the next several weeks, we're going to have bare trees pretty much everywhere until spring comes. And then you'll see the greenery come back. And you see how the nature cycle just turns, and you see the beauty of it throughout all the seasons, even in winter when it looks everything is bare. That declares the hand of God. The beautiful creek that we set beside here shows us the power and strength of God and shows us His hand. If you look up at the stars, and you see how they twinkle in the distance, or you see the full moon like last night. Or was it a meteor shower a week ago, or something along that lines? You see all these different items of nature and these celestial beings, as they're called, these heavenly items. They all declare the hand of God. And so we sing songs about His nature. All things bright and beautiful. We sing songs that bring to our mind how nature teaches us about God. How nature is even used to describe Christ. Living water, bread of life. And so we sing these songs and we involve them in our worship. And we talk about it in our prayers. And we talk about lessons from it. And we read the Psalms in different passages. We read the Genesis account and we see how it was all created. And in that we're thanking God for the beautiful creation around us. And we're being reminded of His power and His majesty in what all surrounds us. And so we are to be always thankful to Him for His power. And then also from verse 2, from the salvation that He's given to us when we're faithful to Him. No man can save us. No man can save us for eternity. No other god, as in verse 5, these worthless gods of the people, can save us from this world except Almighty God. Except Jehovah. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And so we are thankful to God for His power, and His work, His creation. We are thankful to God for His salvation that He offers to all of us in sending His Son to die on the cross. But we are thankful also, verse 3, for His glory and for His honor. This is a common theme in the book of the Psalms. In Psalm 29, verse 2, it says, "Give unto the Lord the glory, do His name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Psalm 72, verse 19, "And blessed be His glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen." And Psalm 115, verse 1, just three here, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to Your name give glory because of Your mercy, because of Your truth." Because of God's character, of what He's done for us, of what He continues to do for us when we mess up, how He forgives us, how He sustains us, strengthens us, gives us courage, we praise and honor His name because it is worthy of it. Worthy of praise is our Almighty God. And then also from verse 3, He has performed many marvelous works, just as we've talked about in His hand in creation, and for that we are thankful. In Psalm 40, verse 5, the psalmist says, "Many, O Lord my God, are Your works, are Your wonderful works, which You have done, and Your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to You in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." God has done more things than we can sit and count. We would be here all day if we tried to list out all that God has done throughout history. Look at Psalm 136. Psalm 136. It's a little bit of a lengthy reading. I'm going to read it. But notice what's being discussed here. "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him alone does great wonders, for His steadfast love endures forever. For Him who by understanding made the heavens, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who spread out over the earth above the waters, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who made the great lights, for His steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over day, for His steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for His steadfast love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two, for His steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for His steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who struck down great kings, for His steadfast love endures forever, and killed mighty kings, for His steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, the king of the Amorites, for His steadfast love endures forever, and Og, king of Bashan, for His steadfast love endures forever, and gave their land as a heritage, for His steadfast love endures forever, a heritage to Israel, His servant, for His steadfast love endures forever. It is He who remembered us in our low estate, for His steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for His steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for His steadfast love endures forever." The psalmist here is taking different parts of Israel's history and is piecing it together, and in between each is pointing out, why has God done all this? Why has God made all these great wonders? Why has He made the heavens, the earth and the water, the lights, the day, the night? Why has He killed the firstborn? Why has He brought them out of bondage? Why has He let them pass through the Red Sea? Why has He destroyed these foreign kings? Why has He done any of this? Because he loves. Because his steadfast love endures forever. And so as we look at God, and as we understand what he is and who he is, we understand that we praise and we thank him because of his love. Because his love did not stop in verse 26. That's where the psalmist stopped recounting part of Israel's history. You could continue on and fill up an entire book with everything God has done and put in between each point, because his steadfast love endures forever. Because that is the character of the God we serve. And so going back to Psalm 96, in verses 4 and 5 there, we understand that we then should have a great response to our Heavenly Father for what he's done for us. And we should be so thankful for his dignity and for his aid and his righteousness. Verse 9 then tells us to worship the Lord in splendor of holiness, tremble before him all the earth. And so as we come together and we worship on the Lord's Day, and as we take time out of our schedules to be together and to praise God, we need to be considering what all he's done for us throughout our life and throughout the history of this earth. And be thankful for who God is. Now let me make another point and then we'll conclude the lesson. Verses 10 through 13 of Psalm 96 tell us that we should also be thankful for the judgments of God. Read verses 10 through 13 with me. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established, it shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth, he will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. In Romans chapter 2, verse 5, Paul says, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Jesus says in John 7, verse 24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. You know, James points out, we're not going to take the time to read it, but over in James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, James points out that man's judgment is often with partiality. We have different situations in our background and our experience that make us judge different items with, if you'll let me use the word, prejudice. We already have preconceived notions, and we already have our own thoughts and desires because of past experiences. And what happens is we often let that cloud our judgment. And so when we rely on man's judgment, we need to understand that there might be bias. Probably is bias. And that it is an imperfect person judging. We should be thankful for God's judgments. Because as is pointed out in verse 13 there at the end, he will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. God's judgments are according to the truth. They're not based on fallacies. They're not based on man-made laws. They are based on solely the truth. And so if you were trying to decide which judge would try your case, would you rather have a man or God? Who would deal the most fairly with you? And so we need to be thankful for what God has done. Romans chapter 2, that same passage just a couple verses prior, in verse 2, he says, but we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. You know, let's consider for just a moment that same story of the Ark of the Covenant, but go a couple chapters before in 1 Chronicles chapter 13. First Chronicles 13, starting in verse 7. And they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio were driving the cart. And David and all Israel were celebrating before God with their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and cymbals and trumpets. And when they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put out his hand to take hold of the ark, and the ox stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he struck him down because he put out his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. Chapter 15, verse 13. This is in the ark finally being brought to Jerusalem, where we looked at them celebrating just a few moments ago. First Chronicles 15, verse 13. Because you did not carry it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not seek him according to the rule. When they were transporting the Ark of the Covenant, and Uzzah is part of this group bringing it, they were doing what maybe many of us would have found ourselves guilty of doing, trying to engineer a better way to do it in their minds, an easier way. And if you consider what Uzzah did as the cart is being shook and the Ark of the Covenant is being rattled, what is he doing? He's touching out to steady it. What was the problem with that? It had been commanded that they not touch the Ark of the Covenant lest they die. And so what happens? Uzzah's life is lost. We need to understand that the way God judges is according to what he's told us. Over the years, I've heard many people talk about how good intentions of the heart make up for sin. Now, they don't say it that way, but notice the way they talk about people. Well, they had a good heart, or they did a lot of good in the community. Those things are true, my friends. Do you not want to maybe suppose that Uzzah had good intentions here? And if you and I were the judge, and it wasn't death, but it was maybe to be stoned, and we were looking at this, and we were the judges, and we decided, well, Uzzah was doing a good thing in making sure the Ark of the Covenant didn't fall off the cart, so we're just going to give him a slap on the wrist. Uzzah would probably be happier. But we would be judging unfairly. Right? We'd be going against what God has said the penalty was for committing this action. And so while it may seem callous, we're thankful that God is true to his word. Because that means we are given the book by which to live, the plan by which to be, and we can be thankful that we know how we're supposed to live to be able to have a home when this life is over. We'd be better off if we would remember David's thanksgiving throughout our life. We need to all strive to be truly thankful for the blessings that are given to us by God. I'm going to read Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Paul is talking here about one who has received Christ. When I'm finished reading these verses, we're going to have Marvin come lead the song that's been selected. And if you find yourself not a part of Christ, then become one of his children today, and you'll have great things to be thankful for this year. And if you find yourself as one who has wandered away from God, remember who it is we serve and what He's like. And remember that because of His faithfulness, you can still be right. You can be right with Him before you leave today. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and builded up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. We can help you. Won't you come as we stand as we sing the song that's been selected?